It's good to be here. I'm still not convinced this is not punishment for not going on a mission trip. But I made a commitment to be in Raleigh on Thursday and Friday this week over a year ago. And so you can't do everything, so I opted not to go. But I do appreciate very much, and my prayers will be with those that go. Let us pray. Gracious God, loving Father, open now our ears and prepare our heart to hear your word. This is all things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. The scripture lesson this morning is taken from the 25th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning to read in verse 30. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed with my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these are my brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. And then he will also say to those on his left, Depart from me, you accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. And they themselves also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? And they will answer them, saying, Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord is eternal. The title of the message this morning was, I don't know what happened to it, but it was supposed to be, Things to Do Today. But I'm kind of glad it wasn't put in, because what we want to talk about is the to-do list for the Christians. I don't know about you, but I have a to-do list. It's on the refrigerator, and I work hard, and I think I've about got it done. I go to mark the last thing off, and lo and behold, something else has been added. There seems to be always something to do on David's list. And so it is with those who live the Christian life. There's always something out there that needs to be done. We've had a commission service this morning. This old church has stood here on this site some 219 years or 18 years. And for the first 200 years, unless history has not recorded if it happened, this church did not send out anybody. But a number of years ago, 10 or 12, our young people, youth shepherds, felt a call to go to Appalachia to teach Bible school, and that kind of started. This year, this is the third commissioning service we've had. We sent out 10 in February, went to Gulfport. We sent out a number to go to Kentucky, Harlan, Kentucky, to build a house there for the poor, and then this one today. Exciting things are happening here, and I'm glad to be a part of it. As I said, we went to but why is this important? Why do we do this? Why is it important for a church to be active in sending out and reaching out? Why is that important? I invite you to join me in the book of James. I might say the book of James is one that made it in the annals, but we're told by one vote. A lot of people of our reformers did not like the book of James. Martin Luther did not like it, neither did Calvin, because they said they did not find God's grace there. The only thing they find is works. But may I remind you that James is writing this book to those like you and I, those that have have received God's grace and we're now part of His family. And James is telling us what is our responsibility as being part of God's family in the world. And this is what James is talking about. I want to read three verses. In the second chapter, starting in verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, be filled, and yet do not give him what is necessary for the body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead. So it's exciting that we now are putting feet to our faith. It is not enough just to talk the talk. We must walk the walk. And I'm glad to see we're doing it. Back in February, 10 of us went to Gulfport. That was a great trip. It was a life-changing experience for me. These nine other guys that were with me, we bonded, and I had a relationship with those nine guys that I don't expect to have with anyone else to that extent. But it was a great trip. We went, and every morning before we would go to the work site, we would gather outside and join in a circle and hold hands, and someone would pray. And the prayer would always thank God that we're here. And may, as we go out and work today, may those who see us see Christ in us. And it worked, because it split us in five teams, and not my team, but the other team worked on an old lady's house by the name of Miss Aldrich, who by her own admission had not been in the house of God since she was 13 years old. She attended her grandmother's funeral. She's now well into her 70s. And the last day we were there, she said, I'm going to find me a church. I'm going to find me a church. I like what these guys are about. So David said he's going to drop by and visit Miss Audrey. And David, if she hasn't, I remind her of what she said she was going to do. And every night after a supper, we would gather in where we were housed, and we would read devotions. We would have devotion and have a series of prayer. 10 men would pray every night. We would pray for each other. We would pray for our loved ones at home. And we would thank God that He gave us the strength and enabled us to come and to have a little part in what we were doing here. And on Thursday night, I read the passage that I read just now. And I probably read this passage maybe 50 times. And suddenly, that 51st time, there it was. God was speaking to me through that passage. Because we began to get discouraged. You guys that are going, and unless they've done an awful lot of work, you will not believe what you're going to go walk into. Row after row after row, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of houses need work done on it. And we were working on two houses. And I began to question myself, are we accomplishing anything? With all of this work to be done, and only we're working on two, and we didn't finish either one of those houses. And then God spoke to me out here, and He said, you know, little things are important. And so I told the guys, let's not be discouraged. Let's thank God that we're able to come and to work and do a little bit for two people, because little things are important. Little things are important to us. There are three other things I think we need to see in this parable. Number one, the sheep, the ones on the right. If you noticed in the reading when He said, you've done this to me and that to me, they were surprised. And they said, Lord, when did we do this? I don't remember doing it. When did I see you sick and visit you? When did I see you naked and clothe you? We don't remember doing it. And then He uttered these words, when you do it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And that tells me that religion was, Christianity was not a religion for these people. It was a way of life. It's what we do. And so I ask you this morning, and what about you? Is religion, is Christianity, is it just merely a religion? Or is it a way of life for you? I remember the missionaries coming back from Pakistan and telling a very humorous story about one Arab chasing another, and one of them had a big long knife, was going to cut him, and they were chasing down through the center of the town, and the call came to prayer. And they both stopped and dropped down on their knees and faced Mecca and said their prayers until the signal came that prayer time was over, and they jumped up and started the same thing over again. Their religion was not a way of life. But it should be a way. For these, I believe it was a way of life. Last Sunday night, Tim said in our Bible studies, Tim said that in the passage where Jesus said, go and make disciples, the Greek word for go is as you go. Not necessarily to make a special effort, but as you go about your daily life, make disciples. And I think that's what's happening here. As these people went about their daily life, when they saw someone in need, they reached out and responded to him with compassion. When they saw one thirsty, they gave him drink, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think this is what we're talking about. If I ask you after a trip, how many red lights did you stop at? You'd say, I have no idea. That's just what I do. That's what we're supposed to do. We stop at red lights. Well, this parable tells me that that's what we're supposed to do. We as Christians, we have a responsibility. We reach out to the less fortunate and have compassion on those in need. The second group, the goats, they were equally surprised. And they said, when did we see you hungry and not feed you? When did we see you in prison, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And he said the same thing, only reversed. When you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. You did not do it to me. And I believe these are the ones that make an effort. They set out just to do that. They do not do it in their everyday walk of life. That's not part of their fiber. That's not the way they do things. That's not in here. It's up here. And they go out to do it as a task, as a responsibility, not of love. And then the third thing we need to see on this parable, about this parable, is it is something that's in the reach of every person. Many people say, you know, I don't have millions. I can't build a hospital in Pakistan. There's not much I can do. But these little things that Jesus is talking about, the poorest person on earth can do. You can take a few minutes and pick up the telephone and call somebody that's lonely and brighten up their day. We can all do that. We can all give a drink of water. We can all do these things. But I could not shake these words of Christ. I heard them, and I would come home, even after coming home, and I would hear them, and I would, and they just gnawed on me. I would wake up thinking about them, what he would say. And I suddenly realized that, you know, we don't have to go to Gulfport. We don't have to go to Boston. We don't have to go to Kentucky. There are needs here that we can meet. We as a church. So the missions committee met, and we took a bold step. We agreed. This church, we built a Habitat for Humanity house. It's a bold step. It's a step of faith. But I think we can do it. And there's somebody in our community right now in need that has never known the joy of owning a home, but by the efforts of these people in this church, they're going to realize that dream. I invite you to be a part of it. James said, if you believe, you should do. We recite the Apostles' Creed. We say what we believe. I believe in God the Father, the Creator. I believe in Jesus Christ. He died on Calvary's cross. He was crucified. He raised, descended into heaven. I believe all of this. But James said, unless I'm willing to do something, then what I believe doesn't mean much. Again, it's not enough to talk the talk. We've got to walk the walk. We've got to do things. Bob Robinson preached a sermon here in this church. He left here in January of 67, so that gives you kind of an idea of how long ago it was. A lot of you wasn't even here then, so I'm not going to ask you if you remember it. But he preached a sermon on the unconditional love of God. And he told a little story. Earlier that week, what he said, as we respond to that God who loved us unconditionally, we in return love unconditionally. We love our fellow man because God first loved him. That's our response to him. And in Chicago is a man by the name of Raymond Speaks. A drifter slipped in an apartment building in Chicago shared by 5 student nurses. He laid weight on them, and as each one of them came home that night, he strangled all 5 of them. And there wasn't much love talked about Mr. Speaks. We were all saying he should be taken out and shot like the dog he is for doing such a drastic thing as this. And I remember Bob Robinson asked a question. And he said, how many of you this morning can truly say that you love Raymond Speaks? Well, a collective gasp went across the congregation because who expects you to love a person like that? My goodness. And then he said, the answer you give may indicate how close you are to the kingdom of God. It's been well over 40 years. And that sermon's still gnawing at me. It's right here. It's still gnawing at me. So I'm going to ask you a similar question. How long has it been since you out doing your daily things? Have you met a person in need and attempted to meet that need? How long has it been since you and your out doing your thing has seen a person really suffering and reached out rather than look the other way? Oh, I hate to get off 40 down on Sullivan Road. I look over here because I'm afraid I'm going to see that guy hold up a sign that says, hungry, will you help me? I don't even want to look at him. First of all, I'm not sure. I would say, you didn't get a job. But God's unconditional love removes that promise. As the people in this parable, they did it. And Jesus said, if we do it to the least of these, we've done it to him. So I ask you, how long has it been? The answer you give may indicate how close you are to the kingdom of God. May we pray. Gracious God, loving Father, you've told us to go and to have compassion on a fellow man. Forgive us when we have looked the other way. Forgive us when we have failed you. But, oh God, we thank you for those 16 or 17 that are leaving this afternoon and answering that call and going to Biloxi to help people they don't know, but yet they know there's a need. Oh God, we thank you for them. And we ask that you would protect them as they travel. And we pray, our Father, that those who see them work this week will not see them, but will see you in them. This and all things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.